This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. On the way today, from the man who created the characters for the movies Toy Story and Rise of the Guardians, the best-selling kids' book The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore, and even more, a new children's book inspired by the classic film Metropolis. William Joyce discusses his newest creation, The Numberlys, in about 15 minutes. And later, Summer Streets come to Cincinnati beginning this weekend. But first, the July issue of Cincinnati Magazine is on newsstands now with a picture of an incredibly juicy and tasty-looking pulled pork with coleslaw sandwich from Eli's on the cover, and a story inside about the 13 best barbecue joints in the Queen City. But also inside, an intriguing article about an old scrapbook that shines a light on some Cincinnati history. Joining me in the studio are Amanda Boyd-Walters and R.J. Smith, Cincinnati Magazine's deputy editor and senior editor, respectively, to share the story of the stripper in the scrapbook, our Nimble Lass. Good to see you both again.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Well, our Nimble Lass, to quote the title page, is the story of a local girl, big dreams, and a mysterious scrapbook that revealed a rich, almost forgotten history of burlesque in the Queen City. And I want to begin with the story of the scrapbook, which you brought in today, and this is just amazing. I mean, this would be interesting even without some of the context that you've given it. But tell the story of how the scrapbook came into the Cincinnati Magazine offices, because you said a few of you got a number of emails about this scrapbook that was being auctioned.
Yeah, I got an email one day that said, hey, this is a really interesting item that's for sale on eBay. Maybe you should check this out. And of course, I clicked on the link because it said, oh, it's Cincinnati Stripper Scrapbook. So I went and I looked and I saw there were some pictures. There were some little clippings from, you know, example images. And I sent it to RJ and I said, do you think maybe there's something we could do with this story?
And what did you think, RJ?
Well, between the pictures and the words on the eBay page, we were all intrigued. And so we had to have a meeting with the editor where we kind of sold him. Didn't take much, but kind of sold him on, we'd like to buy this scrapbook on eBay. And there's a lot of lurid pictures, or not lurid, but it looks like it could be really saucy. What do you say?
Hey, boss, can we buy a book full of nudie-ish pictures?
Right?
That sounds like it can be very dangerous as it goes along. Well, you know, it's interesting because when you say Cincinnati and stripper in the same sentence, it just doesn't seem to jive, you know. But it's true that Cincinnati had quite a racy past at times.
It definitely did. And Irma, our dancer, was born here, lived here, and did most or a lot of her dancing right in town and in the area, you know, within a short drive from Cincinnati. So she really was a local girl.
Now, this scrapbook, so you found it on eBay. Did you find out who was selling it? Did somebody just come across it? Was it a family member? Or, you know, what was the origin of this scrapbook?
Well, the seller had actually purchased it at a garage sale about a decade before and had wanted to kind of find out more about the person who was in it, but just really had never made any kind of headway. And so thinking that, you know, maybe there was some, you know, value in putting it out there, that then they decided to sell it.
Well, you brought it in today, and it is just amazing. It's the typical old scrapbook. It's only about an inch and a half thick, but the old brown paper pages and all these newspaper articles and pictures and tickets and sashes all in. I mean, it seems like there's a story or different stories on every page, but you decided to get to the heart of the matter and find out about the woman who is featured in this scrapbook.
Well, it's this incredibly personal document. I mean, it's her life, the things that she wanted to put down, to save, to show, you know, to look at when she was older, maybe show her kids or whatever. And it documents this career she was launching and wanted to have, you know, hopes and dreams, all that stuff, along with recipes she clipped out of the paper.
Well, what's interesting, and you mentioned it in the article, and it's obvious from looking at the scrapbook here, unfortunately, it's not in chronological order. So yeah. It's not readily apparent who it belongs to and exactly when all this was happening. It really jumps around from time to time. So you had to start somewhere, so you started with the name. And tell me what you found out about Irma Kunkel.
Well, I want you to talk about this because you are an amazing researcher. I'm going to put the detective on the case now.
Well, I knew that if we had something, we would be able to find her. If we could find an address, if we could find... And then when we started to go through the scrapbook and realized there were so many different permutations of her name, I was a little bit nervous because I thought, oh no, how are we ever going to track this person down? But it really was that little tiny clipping that said the daughter of Mrs. A. Lang of Lawndale Avenue. And I went, okay, I got her now. I know I've got her. And it started at the auditor's website, and I managed to find that Hattie had transferred that property to Leroy Kunkel and Irma Frazier. And from that point, I was kind of off and running. Once I figured out that Irma Frazier was born Irma Kunkel, then it was census and birth certificates and birth records. And it's frustrating because I couldn't fill all the holes that I wanted. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find marriage records for her. I couldn't find the marriage certificates. I couldn't find, you know, certain things. But I managed to find an awful lot. And I was actually pretty excited because it was like, okay, great. Irma, we know who you are. We remember you. You know, that was just kind of cool for me.
Amanda Boyd Walters, the deputy editor of Cincinnati Magazine, and also here in the studio, R.J. Smith, senior editor, talking about the stripper in the scrapbook here on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And Irma was born on Vine Street, just a few blocks from where we sit right now. Kind of set the stage for what you learned about when Irma was born. What was it, 1905, I think it was?
Mm-hmm. 1905. That was one of the records that we found. UC has a collection of birth and death records for the city of Cincinnati, and they're on little index cards, and it will tell you the address where somebody was born, their mother and their father, their parents' occupations, if any, and who was ever attended at the birth, whether it was a midwife or a physician. And so when I found that card and I saw 1531 Vine Street on it, I was like, okay, I wonder if that building is still there. And I went to Google Maps and saw that indeed it was. And of course, the first thing I did when I left work that day was to drive up Vine Street and take a look at it.
What did you find there? The building is still there.
The building is still there. I found that it's a tall, skinny Italianate kind of structure that looked like it might have been retail on the bottom, residential above. And across the street and down a little bit, which is now a parking lot, would have been where her father's store was. He was a barber. He cut hair. So right across the street at 1524 Vine, that's where he was doing his work. So it just kind of immediately changes your perception of that particular corner. Suddenly you see it as a neighborhood. You see it as somebody's family home.
So what did you find out about her father beyond that he was a barber?
He died rather young. He died at the age of 35. I found his death certificate, and it said that the cause of death was Bright's disease. Uremic poisoning, was that what it was?
Right. That's an archaic term for uremic poisoning.
Yeah. And cirrhosis of the liver. So we thought that it was possible that there are many probable causes of that, but he could possibly have had an issue with alcohol.
But of course, we have to remember what the neighborhood, as you said, you know, this is a neighborhood, what the neighborhood was like back then, because the Miami and Erie Canal was still where Central Parkway is today. And this was probably the heyday of what was over the Rhine with the German population.
It was rollicking. I mean, there was a theater district that starts around Fountain Square, and after the Civil War, it moves up Vine and up Vine and goes into what is over the Rhine. There were German immigrants, working class, middle class, and everyone was mingling. There was this amazing culture of barbers and shopkeepers and citizens and actors and actresses. And the mayor hung out there. Boss Cox would have a drink after work every day a block from where Irma was living and hold court and run the city from this tavern.
And there were quite a few taverns. That just happened to be his favorite one.
That's right.
I can't remember the numbers, but some ridiculous saturation of bars and taverns and over the Rhine back in that day. And before Prohibition, of course, they kind of fell off. So what's the range on this scrapbook? I mean, I know from the article when it ended, but what was the earliest date that you could find in it or could kind of place? Do you know?
I think it runs about 1932 to 1942. So it's about a 10-year span. It was really difficult because so many of the little clippings did not have any kind of date, and we couldn't really track him down. A couple of them we were able to find through some synergy of search engines, but not very many. And it you know, it's just, you know, it's like any story. It just kind of doesn't really have an ending. It just is. It's this little piece.
You know, it's the classic scrapbook thing. You're saving aspects of your life. You remember when you were at this club or that club doing this dance or that. So you clip the picture of it or the ad for it and you put it in your book and you don't think, well, somebody else is going to look at this and not know when it was.
Well, talk about Pep Golden and his productions, because he is kind of the Ziegfeld of Cincinnati. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. Well, there was so much showbiz in town, you know, in that era, in the teens, the 20s, the 30s. This was a big place. I mean, you know, Billboard magazine was here. It was just a big entertainment nexus. And so a lot of agents, a lot of theaters, a lot of recruiting agencies and so forth were here. And Pep Golden was a star from earlier in time, a dancer, a musician. I think he was probably one of those guys that could carry a tune, could do a couple of steps or a lot of steps, yeah. Could tell a joke. So he was invaluable. He was always a pinch hitter or better, never a star. Then he was getting older. He married a Cincinnati girl and he moved to town and he starts the Pep Golden Dance Studio. A lot of people went through it. It was very successful, 20s, 30s, 40s. You can see online some allegations, or some people think maybe Doris Day went through his school, but it's never mentioned any biographical information for her that I've seen. But he was legit and a star maker.
R.J. Smith, senior editor at Cincinnati Magazine, also in the studio is Amanda Boyd Walters, talking about The Stripper in the Scrapbook, an article in the July issue of Cincinnati Magazine, available now. You can find a link to the Cincinnati Magazine website at our website, wvxu.org. And you are also encouraged, if you know something about Irma Allen or Ermaine or our nimble lass, that you let Cincinnati Magazine know and maybe share some of those stories of some of these lost places by emailing talk@wvxu.org. And these lost places, that's what I'm having fun. I mean, I only had a moment to go through the scrapbook, and, you know, it's I want to sit down and study it, and I imagine there were some quarreling over who got to take it home at any given time, right?
We had it under lock and key in the office.
Oh, okay. So only there and only supervised. But it seems like you could study this for hours, but just at the glance, hearing about these places, the Mecca Club at 38 High Street in Hamilton, the Cat and the Fiddle at 1345 Central Avenue right around the corner here, and you say in the article the Cat and the Fiddle was what you call it, a flesh arc here in Cincinnati.
I called it a flesh arc. And, you know, it had a long history from Prohibition when it was right downtown. You can look in the articles in the Inquirer and other newspapers. There were incidents with guns back then. You could buy whatever you wanted to buy pretty much there. Then it moved out to here, and it became a different owner, I think. And it became, well, people called it grungy, but it was also beloved. And apparently stars, you know, you would go perform, maybe Jack Benny when he was in town. When he got off the stage, he would go to the Cat and Fiddle and loosen his tie and see the dancers.
Mm-hmm. So where does the scrapbook end? I haven't turned it all the way to the end, but where does it end besides in 1942?
Well, that's the question. I think the question that we were asking ourselves, because it's what she built her, well, it's the scrapbook we know she saved. Maybe she saved a lot of scrapbooks, but it's the one we found. And it's all about her as a dancer, starting as an aspirational student at Pep Golden's to a local star, performing in quote-unquote legitimate theater shows, whatever that means, to stripping. But that's where it stops. It stops sometime in the 40s. And we wonder what the rest of her life was like.
Right. We know that she moved to Claremont County at a certain point. We know that she married a man named S. Ralph Frazier, who was the deputy health commissioner in Claremont County. And she lived until 1977. And this was an important enough part of her life that the word Ermaine is on her tombstone. And that just signify, like, this is very important to her identity. You don't put something on a tombstone that's going to be there theoretically forever unless it is really crucial. And that just kind of makes me feel like this must have been really important to her. And this must have been a huge part of her life. And it would really be great if somebody out there listening had any idea who she was or knew her husband or anything like that, would get in touch with us and just let us know, are we wildly off track here? Or, you know, is this a person who really wanted to do this and she was really proud of it? And I hope that she was.
Amanda Boyd Walters, Cincinnati Magazine Deputy Editor, and R.J. Smith, Cincinnati Magazine Senior Editor, who teamed up for the article Our Nimble Lass. That's the story of the stripper in the scrapbook. You can find it in the July issue of the magazine, available now. And more online at WVXU.org. And again, Cincinnati Magazine would love to hear from you if you knew Ermaine or knew about Ermaine. You can find a link to their website where you can share your stories online at our website, WVXU.org. So, the always interesting and amazing William Joyce talks films, apps, Olympic curling, and The Numberlys, his new children's book, next on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.